If the NSA is listening, we can at least be entertaining. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
You guys are probably pretty tired, right? Nothing's riding on this except the First Amendment of the Constitution, freedom of the press, and maybe the future of the country.
Hi there. Welcome back. Oops, lost my mic. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. On my own today, and Susan wasn't feeling good, so on my own, and so many notes, so much information, I'm going to try and cram into this show today. So in the last hour, I was talking about anthrax, and why are we guinea-pigging our military into taking these things, and how'd they become mandatory? And when you have a vaccine run by a guy that owns the company that got the sole contract from the DOD, right, to produce something that's going into the bodies of our servicemen, and it just happens to be from the few countries over there that they actually are fighting in, with strong ties to, you know, Al-Qaeda and CIA and also, Lebanese, wealthy Lebanese millionaires that are allowed to own these companies that, and basically the House of Saud's in there too, that basically get to come up with this solution that is injected into our soldiers. And the soldiers are having health issues because of these things. They have way more vaccines than they even used to, and they're all mandatory, unless you actually, I think for religious reasons, you can exempt out, or doctor's note, but or both. But starting, you know, years ago when they started doing this, and they're forced to do these things, the list is long, and we're talking, you know, bioterrorism solutions, you know, in these vaccines, and they're being injected into our military, and I'm kind of protective over our military and don't want to see them subjected as guinea pigs. Why should you lose your constitutionally protected rights because you become a serviceman for the very country you're fighting for the very constitution you're fighting for? Makes absolutely zero sense to me. So I went over that in the last hour, started in 90, and it just so happened that all the funding and the people, the first company and then the second company that got the contract, all these same ties to all the same funding groups, and all of a sudden it was mandatory. There was never a whole lot of testing or anything, and all of a sudden the soldiers, just based on a threat, not anything actually that happened, just based on a threat of having to take this. So if measles never happened, let's say, and measles is like the dumbest one I can come up with, because it's just such a sniffles and red dots. But if it had never happened, but the threat of it happening and people were forcing you to take a vaccine for it, would you do it? I mean, it's kind of ridiculous to take something on just a threat that it could happen at some point someday. And when Congress hesitated on the funding to this particular company, it just so happened at the same time letters arrived through the U.S. mail with anthrax, and all of a sudden there was a need to have this anthrax vaccine. So there are a lot of people coming back from the Gulf War all the way up to even Afghanistan, all over, that are saying, I have all these symptoms and what's going on, and I have to subject myself to all this stuff, and now I've got tumors, I've got all these things going on, and what's happening to our military? We also have 1 in 4 that's diagnosed with a mental health condition. They're on medication for it. That's really strange. That rate is so high. It went from over a decade ago, it was 1 in 8. Now it's 1 in 4. There has to be more factors at work here than just multiple tours. There has to be something else, right? That's how it feels anyway. And so this is exactly why I went down this and really wanted to sort of explore this, because I thought there's something going on here that doesn't make sense, that seems awfully wrong. When a company like this, and you have the same kind of ties and Incutel funding and government presence in there, not only making the money off of it, that wasn't actually my biggest concern, was what are their reasons for being in that business, and is something nefarious going on with what they're subjecting our soldiers to? When you have people from another country supplying these things, and they have ties to all the wrong people. Don't you have to kind of wonder that if they ever wanted to do something a little bit more on the nefarious side, they could, because they'd have that kind of access? They're the sole, BioPort is the sole manufacturer of that vaccine. And I think that's rather scary, to tell you the truth. So we're taking an anthrax vaccine from 1990. It's still going on today in 2019. Anthrax has never been completely subjected to our military, or they've not even had a scare, except for 2001 when those letters were mailed in the United States. And here we are, still subjecting. So who will finally say, hey, can we please investigate this? Can we please stop this? In Canada, they had a case where the stuff went to court. They actually got their doses from a United States company, BioPort. They got it from here, and we said it was healthy, and all of a sudden, they had soldiers with lots of problems over there starting to sue Canada for subjecting themselves to this. And it came out in court that they could actually prove that it was doing these things, that it was, they called it a bad batch, and it was swiftly swept under the rug and didn't get a whole lot of press. So I bring this to your attention so that you can jump then down even more rabbit holes in relation to this, because there's a lot of people involved with this. And there were really never any concrete answers to this. So in 97, the Clinton administration decided to initiate the anthrax vaccine immunization program, right, AVIP, which made the anthrax vaccine mandatory for all 2.5 million. So at the time, they were giving it to people that were going into certain regions, and then they upped the ante in 97 after the Gulf War, right? Active duty U.S. personnel. And then a few weeks prior to the launch of AVIP, this mandatory program to get this anthrax injected into your body, this anthrax vaccine, Secretary of Defense William Cohen held up a 5-pound bag of sugar on national television, warning the public that if the bag did indeed contain anthrax, it could kill half the population of D.C. Dramatic? I'd say. Can't get more dramatic than that. Yeah. And then in 98, Secretary Cohen was publicly given the anthrax vaccine, after which mandatory anthrax vaccinations began for all military personnel and DOD civilian contractors. So the decision for mass vaccination was made despite the fact that the FDA had not even approved any changes to the vaccine's manufacturer's package insert. And there was a whole report on this that was in the package insert that talked about the dangers of it and did not comply. It actually said, the insert actually said, it did not comply with all the requirements of the Code of Federal Regulations for amending the vaccine's label, and that there was no legally acceptable justification for the vaccine's off-label use. Yeah. So then in 2001, there was an announcement made there would be a slowdown of AVIP, a slowdown, so they were going to kind of reconsider it in 2001, in June, right before September 11th. And interestingly enough, the FDA not released any more anthrax vaccine supplies in over a year. DOD announces the only groups scheduled to receive the anthrax vaccine were the same two groups originally receiving the vaccine before the DOD broadened the program in 98. Research laboratory personnel at high risk for anthrax exposure. After September 11th, the anthrax letter bombs came. And what happened? Calls for expanded military and civilian anthrax vaccinations. That's what happened. Coincidence? Coincidence as the contract for BioPort was just on hold for a moment and then all of a sudden rushed through. So there you go. And I do think that we need to be very aware of what's going on, how our military gets used, and I don't like to see that, and I know you don't either. Because we care. We care a lot. And it just makes me ill. And so if you have anything to add, 888-673-1450, 888-673-1450. It's always amazing the interested parties and the funding groups that show up. Look at East West Resources Group and see what they own all over the globe, in Australia and America and Canada. The same individuals that are at the head of BioPort, this anthrax vaccination, that just so happened they got that contract, even though they couldn't pass FDA, just so happened that they own East West Resources, which owns a lot of the companies that deal with the natural resources here in America, Australia, Canada, so forth, all over the globe. And there's lots of tie-ins to a lot of global companies where there's not a whole lot of information on them. And it's hard to get information on them. And those are always the companies in the shadows that I always think, what in the world is going on here? And why are the same individuals, why do the same names keep popping up? The Al-Hibri family is what's at Bioport, but this is same individuals are just very strangely at the head of a lot of they seem to just sort of make their way into the United States, and then all of a sudden they're receiving huge contracts. All of a sudden they're tied to people that work in government here. All of a sudden they're tied to goings-on over in the Middle East that are kind of strange and different things that are happening there. So there's a lot of tie-ins. And I think when you start to really research that, do your homework on Bioport, do your homework on East West, and we need to find out who's at the helm of owning all of these things and dealing with all of these things. It would do us some good. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, I got a good story for you, Kate.
What's that?
I was in the Army about 20, 25 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And when I got to my duty station, they were giving us our rounds of vaccines. They give you a bunch of vaccines while you're in there. And when I got in there, they scanned my badge. And they said, oh, you get one of these. And they reached back and grabbed this packet, opened it up, dumped everything out on the tray, gave me the injection. And within 30 seconds after the injection, I passed out and went over on the table I was on.
Oh, my God.
And that night, I woke up, and I was fine after that. And the next morning, I woke up, I had a fever. I was shivering. I was cold. And had that all day long, and it was summertime, hot outside, and I was wrapped in blankets, freezing cold. They took me to the hospital that night. I had a 105-degree fever.
Jeez.
And it lasted for 3 days, and they kept asking what they thought it was. I told them it was a vaccine. I said, they gave me an injection, so I passed out afterwards, and then I got sick the next day. I said, it's because of the vaccine. And they're like, no, the vaccines don't do that kind of stuff. They kept denying it. So anyways, I had this fever for 3 days.
You got 20 seconds.
After the fever broke, I broke out in purple spots, purple bumps all over my body, covered in purple spots with white heads on them. And this lasted for months after this.
Oh, my
gosh. I was sick with these purple bumps. I've been sick the rest of my life. What was that?
I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to put you on hold. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Benny? Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. But silver wings.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. Yep, Barry Sadler. Boy, that's in the way back machine, isn't it? Welcome back. I'm glad you're listening in, because trying to investigate the story of why we're even using an anthrax vaccine led me down to a whole bunch of weird ties. Ties that in the companies that own the sole contract for the DOD make lots of money, that go back to the Carlyle Group, that go back to Al-Qaeda, that go back to Bin Laden family, that go back to Bush family, that go back to all kinds of different tales. And it's very, very interesting how the same names keep popping up and the ones that get these contracts. And there was no testing. There was no testing for that. They started giving it in the Gulf War in 90, and then all of a sudden they're still giving it today. And people have what's called the Gulf War syndrome. They've had all kinds of different effects. So this caller on the line, I wanted to keep him on because this is it gets really interesting. He was just talking about you were given the shot, you passed out, you're brought to the hospital, 105 fever because you were in the military, and then all of a sudden you end up with these spots all over your body, right?
Yeah, like purple spots.
Purple spots.
That had white heads on them. Very painful, hurt really bad. I had a hard time sleeping because every time I turn or rotate, it would just get throbbing pain wherever I had these spots in my body. And these just lasted for months, for a couple of years is finally when I think the last one went away.
Mm-hmm.
But But I redid all this research trying to figure out what it was. Like, what did they give me? I went to the VA. They had no clue. They'd never mm-hmm. seen anything like it before.
Right.
But when I read a book about 15 years later, mm-hmm. 20 years later maybe, called Visions of Glory.
Right.
And it's a book about a guy who saw a vision of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the visions he saw was a plague that comes to America and kills, you know, most mm-hmm. a lot of the population in America. And he describes this plague as getting these purple spots with white heads on them that are very painful. And when I read that, I said, that's it. That's what it was. They were testing a bioweapon on me that they're going to use in the future.
That's interesting.
And I was a guinea pig for it. So I also think they test future mm-hmm. bioweapons and stuff that they're developing. I think they test those on soldiers.
I know. And we must question, I think, as a people, why our soldiers are subject to that testing and why they're used as guinea pigs. Because you're fighting for the very Constitution that's supposed to give you the freedom and constitutionally protected, government-protected, God-given rights. What in the world? Why all of a sudden when you're in the military do you lose all of that? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and I didn't get any compensation for it. I've had to spend all this money out of my own pocket trying to get healthy, trying to cleanse myself, get rid of the sickness, because it still affects me to this day. I'm still not myself I was before I went in the military.
Jeez.
I still have all kinds of immune issues, and I get sick all the time. I have joint problems, headaches. I've been asked by the VA if I have had Gulf War syndrome. I've been tested for the AIDS virus. And it has cost me thousands of dollars that I've never been compensated for.
Wow. Wow. And I'm sure stories like yours are so numerous. And from what I'm reading, that's my takeaway, is that it's numerous. Thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Jeez. It makes you sick, doesn't it? Gosh. So... When I was going into that story, I mean, the story just kept going and going and going. There were layers upon layers upon layers of the same characters, the same people not of this country, same people that were in charge of these things. And I don't know how that is allowed to happen. I really don't. It doesn't make sense. And it just goes to show you, doesn't it, that we are that we're subjected to things and people that we don't really know. We don't really understand some of their backstories. We don't ask enough questions as a populace, not you in particular, because I know you do. But as a populace, we're not. Why aren't we? I mean, this should be something that we're all concerned with, because we all have military probably in our families, or you're military yourself. And so why are we not watching out and protecting our military from this? There's a lot of people that are trying to bring awareness to it. I think Operation Truth is one. There's lots of different people that are trying to put the word out and say, we need to get together and bring more awareness to it, because then if the people understand what's going on, if they really did their homework and understood who was behind Bioport, if they understood who was at the helm of that, who funded it, wouldn't you be a little more nervous about taking that in? And when there is no clear-cut reason, there is no reason at all to take in something that's dangerous, and you're forced to do it, what are they? Are they trying to do something to our military? I mean, I don't know any other... Well, it could be one conclusion, right? Trying not to be very seriously suspicious, but my gosh, I mean, if you're looking at a military now that's being medicated for mental health disorders because they changed what a mental health disorder is now, I think in 2017, and under Barack Obama, he had an executive order, wasn't that in 2013, if I recall, that made certain brand new shots that had just come out mandatory among the military? And then, you know, we have all of these things going on, and we don't have an outraged populace, and here we're all affected by the military, pretty much. I know that you probably have members of the military inside your family, like I do. So there's something really wrong. So I was going down this story and trying to investigate as much as I could, and realizing how much even in their own documentation, they actually admit that it isn't really something that they should be doing. it's not really their faulty record keeping and everything else. What's interesting is that they sort of in their own paperwork on their own websites are basically saying, yeah, there's tons of problems, and yeah, this is probably not good, contrary to the best interests, right? That's sad. That is really sad to me in their own paperwork. It's like giving them this, you know, plausible deniability. You know, well, you know, we put it out there, but hey, nobody said anything. And so that needs to be looked at, I think. In the paperwork, too, I'm trying to find where they actually admit that this is that this is wrong, that they shouldn't be doing this, but they basically did. And I remember reading that and thinking, oh my gosh, we're in trouble. We're in trouble if they can put that right on their own paperwork. All right. I also wanted to talk about people that we seriously have a hard time asking questions about. There was a couple of pieces written in the last year and then recently about Brennan. There are some things about Mueller that are very interesting. Hat tip to Susan on this. She wasn't able to join me today, but like Robert Mueller, okay? Wikipedia skips over his grandfather. Why? Why do they skip over Mueller's grandfather? Let's see. His father was an executive with DuPont, Mueller. Served as a Navy officer in the Atlantic, Mediterranean, right, theaters during World War II. His father majored in psychology, Princeton University, right? Mueller's German, English, Scottish descent. His paternal great-grandfather, Gustav Mueller, was a prominent doctor. His grandfather lived in the USA as well. And August Mueller had immigrated to the United States in 1955. And it goes on and on, right? Except that was his grandfather part of Operation Paperclip? Well, now that's kind of interesting, isn't it? And so there are lots of different, there's lots of different roads that when you start to examine these players that we sort of just take in and say, oh, they're just, Mueller's been around for a while, so he's around for a while. It isn't as if we're honestly going, oh, hey, you know, I see a problem in this person's history or what's going on, because here's really the question, you know, just who is Robert Mueller, you know? Is he a deep state lifer, son of Heinrich Mueller, head of the Gestapo, highest ranking Nazi ever caught, Operation Paperclip implications? It's interesting that you'll go back into history and they won't really expand on any of these questions that keep cropping up. Mueller was rumored to have been swept up in Operation Paperclip, or OSS, which is CIA, eventually the CIA campaign to bring Nazi elites into the fold of U.S. Intel infrastructure. And I'm talking in the highest echelons of U.S. Intel infrastructure and science and everything else, you know? So there's lots of questions out there that are not quite answered. And it's good to question these things because you need to. You need to. Also, Gildebrandt. Gildebrandt's in the news consistently. The strange part about Gildebrandt is she wanted to be a lawyer, but she wound up going and, you know, here she is a young girl, and she ends up in Beijing going to the Beijing, what they call normal college. It's a college really to train teachers and things like that. She actually lived there with Connie Britton from the Nashville series, Friday Night Lights, and studied Asian studies and went to this college. The other alumni from this college is Timothy Geithner. So that's I have a whole documentation on this college, which is a really strange college because she was bound and determined to be a lawyer, but it is kind of strange that she ended up over in Beijing. It's like all roads lead to China and U.S. and China relationship and U.S. and China. It's very strange. But we have a lot of people in our government that so freely talk about how at a very young age they were over in China being trained on various things, and it's supposed to just be such a normal thing. I think that's kind of a strange thing, to tell you the truth. My kids, I can't see any of them at the age of 18 going, oh, hey, I'm going to go to this really kind of different college, Beijing College, and I'm going to go over there and study Asian studies. And then they wind up in our government. It's just, to me, as the roads lead to China, and you can't believe how many do. Maybe we ought to question a little bit more what's going on. The Beijing Normal College, they have a lot of different projects that they work on, like 211, I think 111, a lot of projects that do a lot of cross stuff from China to U.S. and understanding these relationships and understanding how we could be more like China and their Marxist indoctrination. And then what, Gilderbrandt comes back as a major, you know, socialist. Very interesting. And they're at the helm and jumping into to her positions in government. I actually think she'll be their front runner, Gilderbrandt. She will be their front runner in government. In the Democratic Party for 2020. All these other people like Biden, it's a distraction. Biden, of course, his creepy videos, they'll be his demise. And many people will fall, but I think Gilderbrandt will end up. And I said this actually a year or two ago. I said Gilderbrandt would be the front runner for them because they want a woman and they want a vowed socialist and they want somebody that just is a government lover and she would be playing that card for sure. So look at Beijing Normal College. It's kind of an interesting school, I have to admit. I'll come back on that in just a second. Be right back. Kate Daly Show. Going through a lot of info today, huh? Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. So glad that you are. I am, in fact, Kate Daly, and here to talk with you about some of the things just that seem a little strange about some of the people in the news that we're reading about today. Brennan, Beto, Hildebrandt. let's see. Mueller. Now, the Mueller thing is chatter, okay? And rumors and things like that. But they are great questions, aren't they? And so when you see a certain name keep popping up, you know, can you ask questions? Or are we just not allowed to do that in America? I'm not quite sure. It feels that way. So Kirsten, who works with Schumer in New York, the senators of New York, is probably going to be, I think, and I could be wrong, so very wrong, but I think they're going to really prop her up as the real front runner for the Democratic Party, and you know, pretty much an avowed socialist, goes along with anything that's big government, and she's an interesting girl. And so at a very young age, she decides to pick up and go to China, to Beijing Normal College, and that's literally the name. And what's the other alumni? Except for all of the Chinese people that came out that are basically in all kinds of organizations in the United States out of this college, their noted alumni is Timothy Geithner. So he's a real interesting character, isn't he? He is basically, well, let's see. He was the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York from 03 to 09. He is all kinds of things, actually. They call him the con artist wing of the Democratic Party and all kinds of just different things. And so he was giving an address. This was kind of interesting about that college that he and Kirsten, the junior senator of New York, Gilderbrandt, actually both attended. And basically he said this. He said, and these were notes from May 25th, 2010, as he was giving this address to the vice president. And he said, I'm an American, but I spent most of my time as a child living outside the United States. I went to school in Thailand. My first day of university in the United States, I was walking to register for classes to choose what my first classes would be. And I ran into, by chance, a professor of the Chinese language, and he convinced me to study Chinese. I came to study in China twice at Beijing University and Beijing Normal University. I said college, new university, in the summers of 81 and 82. I studied China and Japan, Chinese and Japanese in graduate school. My first job out of graduate school was working for Henry Kissinger. His very first job? CIA. So, it's just interesting how these people pop up. What's more interesting, though, is his father, too, Peter, set up the... didn't they spend a lot of time in Iran, too? Set up the Ford Foundation's first office in Beijing in 1988. The Ford Foundation always seems to crop up in the most strangest places, I have to admit. And he said, you know, I went over to China in 81, and they'd already achieved the remarkable feat of extending basic health care and education to virtually all of its citizens, an accomplishment that few countries ever matched at that stage of development. Wow. And so he ends this whole talk he gave about the value of socialism, value of communism. Can I throw up now? And basically gets to the end and he says, well, you know, when I was studying there, I was walking someplace in Beijing and someone came up to me and said, what country are you from? And of course, in my experience, you know, I didn't know whether to, you know, say that or not, or, you know, whether I was from America. And he said, and under the paint, you could still see the slogans on the walls, that said, cultural revolution, that said, down with American imperialists. And he said, but I answered I was an American. And he talks about this whole, you know, meeting and basically saying, you know, gee, they're really hoping to spread what they have here over here in the United States, over there, over here. And he was very out with this information. He and Kirsten both attended this college where they were both very indoctrinated into spreading the joy of communism to everyone. Fun, right? I think their pasts are kind of intriguing. And you'll be surprised at how many people from other world leaders, their kids study here and our kids study there. And it's kind of an interesting little mashup of cross-pollination. Should we just call it that? Cross-pollination. So there was also, if you look at Brennan is a very interesting character, too, because there have been letters, and I was actually reading one late last night. This was on Lou Rockwell, and it was talking about kind of outing him and basically saying, what's up? The untold truth about Obama's former CIA director. There's the missing years. Well, we had those with Bush, too, but there's the missing years and so forth. And he basically said, you know, you can judge for yourself. Brennan's essentially undoubtable, despicable character, which shines through. And not in, you know, obviously they talk about his treasonous behavior and, you know, how, you know, things from his past. And there's clips there. I'll probably put this up on the Kate Daly Show page. But, you know, in 76, in his 20s, John Brennan was a card-carrying communist, and we've talked about that on the show, but we never really went into much depth, who supported the then Soviet Union. This was in 76, at the height of what some say would be the Cold War. And so much so that he voted and assisted Gus Hall, the communist candidate for president, against Jimmy Carter, who ultimately won the presidency. And 4 years later, just after the Soviet Union invaded, just weeks before Afghanistan and months after the Iranian Revolution in 1979, which at the time thought the Soviet Union had a hand in, Brennan was accepted into the CIA as a junior analyst. And at the time, Brennan should have never got into the CIA or any Western intelligence agency, given his communist background. And then, so you keep that in mind, and you say later in his CIA career, he's surprisingly elevated from junior analyst to the prestigious position of station chief in Saudi Arabia, where he spent a few years. And then he said he was appointed purely for political reasons. Wonder what those were. And alleged to have been at the direct request of Bill Clinton and other Democrats, not because of a recommendation or merit from within the agency. Kind of strange. And it's further said that the Saudis liked Brennan because he became very quickly their man, so to speak. So some reports, unsubstantiated, even allege Brennan became a Muslim there to ingratiate himself with the Saudis. So it's there's an actual NBC article. Former spooks criticized CIA director John Brennan for spying comments, right? So the article revealed some facts and some evidence and the feelings of many in the CIA who felt Brennan was totally unsuitable, unqualified to be the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. And the final controversy is the little-known fact that Brennan's near four-year departure from the CIA into the commercial world, having been left out in the cold from the CIA from 05 to 09 when he was CEO of a private company called the Analysis Corporation. So then why was he reinstated into the CIA? Right? To the surprise of CIA senior management, when Obama came onto the scene, coincidental, to head the CIA. And no answer is available as to why he even left the CIA in 2005. And, of course, he has all of his failures as CIA head, involving Benghazi and many others. And that's the guy that they go to with the microphone on this whole Russiagate? Okay. And now he's backtracking and he's saying, oh, well, it was bad intel. He is the intel. He is the intel. But he's saying bad intel. Yeah. Wasn't he saying that the president was committing treason when he wasn't? And isn't he going to have to answer for that ever? Is he ever going to be investigated? I don't think so. And that's what's so strange is when you look under the hood of these people's backgrounds and you start to really look at their years in, let's call it, quote-unquote, government service. I don't call it service. I actually call it treason because I think that they're working against the United States. But many of these people come from the family ties that bind in the world of government and CIA. And then also you have these people with these very sordid backgrounds that should never have the CIA clearances, should never have these intel clearances that they have, should never be in government, but are. We need to question more. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, Kate.
Yeah.
All the strings come together on these people.
Mm-hmm.
They hate freedom-loving,
yep,
middle-class, yep, Americans.
They sure do. You're exactly right.
Because if we go down, it's over with, yeah, worldwide.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll go into a global dark age.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Lord will allow it, so.
Well,
can't wait for that day.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for that. Crazy stuff, right? So there were two actual articles. There was an open letter basically calling all this out, and former CIA professional Sam Faddis was one of them. And you have all of this background. You have all of this background. Richard Galushkin from the wrote a piece. And so there are several people trying to get, you know, the word out, obviously. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yes, I know you're getting close to the end of the time here, but I don't know if you mentioned it or not, but I understand that Romney's going to be here Friday night. Have you heard that?
Yes, I have. Thank you for that. Yes, locally, but we're on the national show right now. I'll put that information on the Kate Daly Show page. I'll tell you, when I'm looking at these people, and we haven't even gotten to some of them that I had on the list, maybe we'll continue on tomorrow. What I find so crazy is how a lot of these people all of a sudden just pop up in a government role with no former anything. It's kind of like Merkel. Merkel, there's no reason that she should be the president of the European Union. There's no reason that she should have been the leader of Germany. There really wasn't anything on her resume that would have pointed to that. Yet there she is. I find that a little intriguing. Because in the instance of, just say, our lives, I can look around and say, gee, you know, my kids don't have a sudden a sudden increased desire at the age of, say, 18, 19, to trottle off to China to be indoctrinated by them, to come back to America, to be in government service. Gee, you know, that doesn't happen in so-called normal families out there. Yet, when these people make speeches, they came from the most normal families, and they were all middle class, and they're just like you. No, they're not just like you. And I think that more than not, not in all cases, but more than not, if you were to go back and take apart the little tiny sentences or maybe one paragraph devoted to their resume that doesn't make sense, you have to start going, well, why isn't that in there? What was the catalyst for this person? Oftentimes, we're going to find a lot more CIA in office, which I find strange. Not super strange, probably in the way that's coming across, but just, you're going to find a lot of this. Like Evan McMullen. When Evan McMullen popped up for president, nobody asked about his funding. Nobody said, why, you know, you're CIA and you're running, but you're not ex-CIA, because they never are. What's the deal? Nobody said, gee, is some of your funding possibly coming from Hillary, that you're pretending to be a conservative? So as we look into these backgrounds, I find them, I usually find the people that are kind of presenting themselves as different than they are, to then you have certain problems coming out, right? You see certain things, they're for certain things. And yeah, I would question somebody that goes over to get indoctrinated in China and ends up in my government. We should be asking more about that. And I would venture to guess that if we took everyone in the headlines right now and most of the Senate and Congress, you're going to find a lot of people that are in there that come from very strange sort of bizarre reasonings and also their affiliations and also why they just ended up certain places. I think it's kind of crazy. This isn't meant to just spread rumor or suspicion. When I'm going down into these investigations of these people, things don't add up. And so what I'm telling you is they don't add up. I don't know exactly what that means, but I know it doesn't add up. And I know that some of these people have some things in common. Who trained them and the very things that they seem to be spreading here in the United States. So I can't believe we're not more careful, I think, is my kind of bizarre question in all this. Why are we not more careful about who is at the helm of politics and government and any of these institutions we're talking about? So, a lot of food for thought, a lot of homework you get to do if you're interested in looking up some of the things we talked about today. And be faithful, be fearless. See you back here tomorrow with Chris Ann Hall and Uncle Milty. And man, I have got like 20 more pages of notes we could have gone over. Maybe I'll extend it a little bit and go over some of the stuff tomorrow. Who knows? But you know, there's going to be a whole plethora of stuff tomorrow. So who knows? Be right. Well, anyway, see you tomorrow.